CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
And in a moment, our review of 2008 with Gord Fuller, former candidate for City Council and co-chairperson of the 710 Club, and John Horn, social planner for the City of Nanaimo. We also want to acknowledge the Nanaimo Daily News and the Nanaimo News Bulletin. The articles printed in local newspapers over the year helped us to prepare our program today.
You're listening to People First Radio. We're coming to you on CHLY 101.7 FM across central Vancouver Island and on the World Wide Web at chly.ca. We broadcast live every Thursday at noon and now rebroadcast every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. In January 2008, talks were in the works to create new social housing and a new drop-in center for homeless people in Nanaimo. And the Nanaimo agency providing services to youth dealing with substance abuse issues announced it was closing. The Alcohol and Drug Abuse Prevention and Treatment Society, called ADAPT, had provided services for 18 years to the Nanaimo region, and in the past few years also in Parksville and Ladysmith. Deb Matchett, the Society's executive director, stated in a news release that the service of ADAPT Society has grown at such a fast pace over the last 20 months, it has outgrown the volunteer board. She added that the volunteer board of directors then made the decision to dissolve the agency. The Vancouver Island Health Authority's Youth and Family Addictions Portfolio began work with ADAPT to develop a transition plan.
So, John, we're just going to start with you. What is the current state of services for youth in the areas of alcohol and drug abuse?
Well, the Health Authority has picked up some of those pieces, and they're delivering some direct services to the youth. The key that was made available in the last year or two was that the funding was made available to provide for beds for youth. So there's 6 beds, and those are for youth who want to go detox and move away from the lifestyle that comes with addictions, you know. So those beds are still available. They're handled right now by the John Howard Society North Island chapter. So when ADAPT closed, there was some trepidation that maybe that service for youth was not going to be available anymore. But luckily, that still is. And so that's really a key thing. If you're a young person and you're involved, this is an opportunity to go in and sort of dry out for a period of time before you move on to other things, you know. So that's still available, and that's really important. One of the big things, of course, is that ADAPT was a place folks could go to. They knew where it was. They knew the counselors there, and they could come in the door and just sort of talk. That piece might not be as readily available as it used to be.
Now, ADAPT was a nonprofit organization, and the public rationale that was given for its closure was that the board or the organization, I guess, as a whole, couldn't handle the growth that was occurring. Gord Fuller, you're well known and also well experienced in the nonprofit sector. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, the idea of closing something, shutting it down because the issue is becoming too big, defeats the purpose of having the nonprofit in the first place. I mean, what is the idea? Do you just maintain services until they reach a certain level and then give up? But the fact is, they did it. It's not the first time that's happened. But it has been picked up on, and the needs are being met by VIHA through the current mandate that they have. And they've got a lot of excellent counselors. The downside with ADAPT closing is that a lot of the counselors who had vast amounts of experience were not rehired through VIHA, and a lot of that was simply because they didn't have the education. Mm-hmm. And to me, life experience in a lot of cases can count far more towards working with youth than education.
And with adults as well. What I think was the biggest loss was the location, too. So easy to find. And my experience of going in there myself was that it was like a one-stop shop. You know, you were immediately dealt with. There was an immediate two-day intervention and assistance, and that was, I think, a bit of a loss.
Now, in a recent column in December in the Nanaimo Daily News, Paul Walton reviewed the year, and he pointed a finger in VIHA's direction with regard to the demise of the ADAPT Society. He wrote, and I quote, "VIHA also got involved in the mess that saw the closure of the well-regarded Alcohol, Drug, and Prevention Treatment Society in March March. The real reasons for ADAPT's closure remain unclear, but it would appear that VHA did little to help keep this successful community organization going. We're reviewing 2008 and looking ahead into 2009 today on People First Radio. We're touching on just a few of the stories that speak to issues related to homelessness, mental illness, and addiction. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Jan and with our guest commentators, Gord Fuller and John Horn.
Health authorities were trying to fund an ambitious $8 million plan to address homelessness in Nanaimo. The home of the man behind Nanaimo's first medical marijuana club became the target of protests. And the BC Liberals' throne speech promised a greener and healthier province. Davina Carlson, 17, said she wouldn't be alive without the Youth Safe House run by Tillicum Laylam Aboriginal Friendship Centre. Funding for the Youth Safe House appeared to be in jeopardy. And Nanaimo's only soup kitchen, the 710 Club, was looking to reinvent itself. While operators searched for a new home, work was underway to come up with a new name for the nonprofit organization that feeds the hungry.
And that is what happened in February 2008. Gord Fuller, tell us how the 710 Club has fared over the years since that time.
Well, when we initially moved to the Prideaux Street Auditorium in the Community Service Building, the numbers of people coming in were quite low at the time, and we weren't able to provide the hot breakfast we'd normally been able to provide, as well as our hours had to be cut back to meet the needs of other groups in the building. And that's pretty much how it's been through the last year. We still aren't able to provide the hot breakfast, but we're quite optimistic that something will be coming up in the near future. I mean, we searched and searched, and at that time, the lease rates or rental rates in properties were so high, and as well as even looking at buying places. And we did at one point think we might be able to access the Harewood School, but the school board and the province have changed their regulations, and they aren't disposing of them right now, so that one got put on hold. It's just been one thing after another, but we are quite optimistic that something will be coming up.
Yeah, I thought that was quite a shocking story, actually, myself, when it first happened, the church sort of just putting the kibosh on the whole situation. Raised a lot of questions in the community about what churches are about and what community is about. It was sort of the beginning of the year of bringing all of these issues into sharp focus.
And the church thing, really, we knew they had wanted us out of here. It wasn't that they wanted us out of there. It was the means they took to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other than that, I really didn't have a problem with that.
We're reviewing 2008 and looking ahead into 2009 today on People First Radio. In March 2008, it was once the neighborhood where Nanaimo's most successful people lived, but a century later, people called it Needle Park. Neighbors of Knob Hill were determined to put a bit of the nobility back in the little park at the heart of their community. There were no plans to change course on a controversial safer crack pipe distribution program that caught the attention of the United Nations drug monitoring arm. And street life was expected to become a little easier for the worst off among Nanaimo's homeless. Samaritan House and the New Hope Center, the city's two homeless shelters, obtained new funding that would enable clients to stay warm and dry both day and night.
John, can you talk about the new funding that was received by these shelters?
Yeah, one of the things that people would say is that it doesn't make much sense to put someone up for the night and then ask them to leave at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning and then only readmit them at 9 o'clock at night. That's a long spell. And for any of us who've walked around downtown on a winter's day, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours outside, that's a long spell to be walking around with no place to go. So we welcomed really quite with open arms the notion that the shelters would be able to provide a little more than that they could open during the day. And that was a big step, I think. And that's right across British Columbia as well. So it's not just our local shelter, but it was seen as a logical thing to do right across the province. And it makes a lot of sense to us as well. So I think it's a good move.
Was that funding from the provincial government then?
Yeah, through BC Housing, through the Emergency Shelter Program. Because, of course, there's some implications for the agencies, right? You've got a 24-hour operation is quite different from an overnight operation. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big strain on organizations as well. So, they probably welcomed it, but at the same time probably had some trepidation about what it meant for them structurally and financially, et cetera. So.
And, of course, we'll speak more about the 24-hour nature of shelters in Nanaimo when we get to December. In our look at the year here. How's everyone doing, Jan?
You're listening to People's First Radio, and we're reviewing 2008, looking ahead into 2009. I'm Jan. I'm here with Kevin and with our guest commentators, Gord Fuller and John Horn. 1 in 4 Nanaimo secondary students is using marijuana while at school. These are April's headlines. That was one of the findings of the second annual Safe Schools survey conducted in Nanaimo Secondary Schools. Almost 5,000 students from grade 8 to 12 took the survey. And it was Malaspina University College No More. College staff, faculty, students, and community members gathered to hear Premier Gordon Campbell make a historic announcement. The Premier said, "Today I can tell you that what has been Malaspina University College is now going to be recognized around the world as Vancouver Island University." And Nanaimo's only youth safe house had its life extended a little farther. Grace Elliott Nielsen, executive director of Tillicum Laylum Aboriginal Friendship Center, said that the organization was given $230,000 from the provincial government. Nanaimo's only soup kitchen changed leadership. Janet Sexsmith, elected as president of the Nanaimo 710 Club Society in March, resigned from the society following pressure from other board members. Gord Fuller, former president, and Ewan Cameron, vice president, took over as co-chairman. And preservation of schools, affordable housing, green space, and the proposed Cable Bay developments were all in the public's mind at a community forum to provide input for the official city plan.
And Gord Fuller, I seem to recall some comments made by you that were quoted in the newspaper in which you linked the official city plan with plans around homelessness and dealing with issues like that. I'm wondering if you could just comment generally on the impact that the overall city plan has on the everyday lives of the whole range of citizens in Nanaimo.
Well, the official community plan or guidelines the city runs is supposed to run by, through which you govern zoning and things like that. And there was a lot of input given to the official community plan, and I in particular was focusing on the affordable housing component that had been in the previous plan, and the fact that when they brought out the newly revised edition, all they had done was simply cut and paste everything from the previous one, which was not that effective in the first place, and put it into the new one. And they actually eliminated one of the policies that they had in there around policy around the safety of houses and things like that. So it's an interesting plan. It's what we've got. It's a lot of controversy around that and the expansion of the urban containment boundary. But, we have to work with what we have, and hopefully this city council will look at some of the policies in it and actually abide by them. I mean, the Seacrest Towers was slated to be stratified into condominiums, and that was brought to city council. And according to the plan and policy, when vacancy rates reach a certain point, they aren't even supposed to consider changing rental units into other uses. So,
John Horn, what's the interrelationship between these plans?
Well, what's encouraging about this particular official community plan is for the first time we really have a big social component built into the plan. Mm. Previous years, if you went to any city in Canada, the official community plan wouldn't make much reference probably to social issues. But ours has now got a substantial chunk devoted to that, and that's going to help council shape their policy decisions going forward. And two immediate outcomes from that: one would be they're looking at the issue of rooming houses, and yes. secondary suites again. Mm-hmm. So right away, they're taking that affordable housing component seriously, you know, and that's a big plus. So I think it relates to all the other plans in the sense that it strengthens everyone else's hand when the health authority goes asking for money or nonprofits seek. They can refer to the official community plan and say, this is the will of our city, mm-hmm. our community, that we should move forward on these things. So it really helps people, I think, to go to seek a mandate for their own agencies, you know. Mm.
In May 2008, Harewood residents had mixed reactions to the idea of the 710 Club moving to the old Harewood School site. A mental health forum called Many Strong Voices, Masters of Our Own Journey, was held to educate the public and establish a community of people in Nanaimo who have mental health issues. The annual event was designed to exclude professionals and experts so that those in attendance and the wider community could get the idea that healing for the mentally ill only happens by including them within society and their own process of healing and recovery. And the city of Nanaimo invited public input on its plan to address drugs and homelessness problems. The Harm Reduction and Housing First Action Plan called for 305 housing units to accommodate homeless people over the coming 5 years.
John, perhaps you could just resketch for us the Harm Reduction and the Housing First Plan. Give us a bit of an update and how it's been moving forward.
Sure. I mean, in essence, we looked at the best practices around the North America and the world, and the notion that you take people who are currently homeless and put them directly into housing without a transitional step, that seems to be gaining quite a bit of currency and seems to be having a really good impact in other places. So we felt we should probably adopt the same strategy, which we did. And council took a look at that and felt that it was an appropriate way to go. So they've adopted the plan, and as with any plan, the question is, now you have a plan, who's going to actually resource the actions, you know, outlined in the plan? So for any city council, it's a bit nerve-wracking to look at the kind of costs associated with building housing. They're big dollars, you know. So for the plan, the council needed to have that brought forward to senior levels of government, which they have done, and with satisfaction too, because senior levels of government have recognized, okay, you have a plan, we know where you're going with your response to homelessness, we're prepared to resource it. So it's been successful at all levels, I think, and hopefully it'll actually really tackle the problem in a big way when it manifests on the ground.
In an editorial on May the 31st, the Nanaimo Daily News said the following: now that the province has, for the most part, abdicated its role in helping the poor by cutting social assistance and housing subsidies, the role of helping the homeless has fallen to municipalities. Though Nanaimo has developed a plan to help the homeless that will rely on funding from Victoria and Ottawa, this is not a problem that any city should have been saddled with. The basic problem is that decisions made by Campbell's Liberal government 5 and 6 years ago have resulted in widespread homelessness. And that was from an editorial printed in May in the Nanaimo Daily News.
And this is People First Radio. We're reviewing 2008 and catching up on some of the stories we followed during the year. We'll be back in a moment with more.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Window Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations. Please join us again next Thursday at noon for People First Radio.